society.
Welcome back to another edition of It's Good with Gary. We're glad to have you with us again. Doug Shockey, he's back on the podcast with us. Doug, last week I lost a sports bet. Not to you, because I'm always right when I bet with sports with you in particular.
You might want to check your sources on that.
Well, my buddy, his wife, Hannah Loftus, who really does not care about sports one little bit, thought that she could pick the playoff winners better than I could. And as it turns out, she had three winners last week, and I had two winners last week.
Did she pick it based on the team's mascots, kind of like a one Mrs. Smith tends to do from year to year?
I think she just picked with her heart. She just said, well, my husband likes the Ravens. She's the only person in the entire world who had Baltimore winning that game. But we'll get to those playoff matchups a little later. Hannah, congratulations on your victory in your sports betting endeavor. She wants to post something on the blog, a guest post. Maybe we can get her to do like some Super Bowl tailgating recipes or something. She makes excellent cookies.
I like that.
Last week we talked about the Hall of Fame a little bit. You posted on the, speaking of the blog, you posted about your thoughts on the Hall of Fame. We saw nobody got elected into the Hall of Fame. Let me ask you right off the bat, is the Hall of Fame not bringing in anybody else in, is that a good thing or a bad thing for baseball?
Well, I think it's a bad thing in that you're kind of creating a backlog now, because next season you've got Greg Maddux, you've got Tom Glavine, you got a couple other people who never in their entire careers or since retirement have been connected to PEDs or cheating in any kind of way. And they're both surefire inductees into the Hall of Fame. And the way the rules are set up, each voter can only select 10 people each year for the Hall of Fame. So right there, you're already jamming up people, because typically, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, before the whole PED thing, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Roger Clemens, those were surefire first ballot Hall of Famers, which then would have opened up space the following year. So I think that it is kind of a problem, and we'll see in the next couple of years how many people may not end up making it into the Hall of Fame just because of the sheer fact that there was a backlog that was created this year. It'll be interesting to see.
Well, you know, I want to say it's a bad thing because of some of those similar issues, but at the end of the day, I don't think that somebody who cheated should be in the Hall of Fame. Let me rephrase that. Somebody who used performance, to speak specifically to the situation, somebody who used performance-enhancing drugs, someone who used steroids, does not need to be in the Hall of Fame. I know that there are people out there who make mistakes in sports. Everybody makes mistakes, and I'm not opposed to second chances, and I'm all about granting forgiveness. But you know what? You still have to pay the price. And if the price is you artificially inflated your numbers, you artificially inflated your abilities, if the price is you don't get to be known as being enshrined in Cooperstown, then so be it. They knew full well what they were doing was illegal.
What do you say to those people who threw spitters back in the day? That was illegal.
Okay.
Scuffing the ball, using too much pine tar on the bat. Those people cheated, and there are people in Cooperstown who did that.
I don't think that's the same thing. They're not doing anything that's artificially inflating who they are. Like, you don't turn 35 and go from 35 home runs to 70 home runs in a season. If you scuff a ball, that's somewhat some gamesmanship. When I coach baseball, I would do things like that. I could steal signs from the other team. Like, I guess it kind of was my job. I would steal signs, and if you ask the guys I played baseball with, I would see what the other team was calling by stealing their signs, and then I would relay it to our guys by, if I called out their number, it was a fastball. If I said them by name, it was something off.
Yeah, and that's
is that illegal?
By rule, that is cheating.
I think that's a far cry from using steroids. Here's the real question.
Here's my argument for the whole steroid thing. I realize that steroids inflate the numbers. It probably helps an older player recover. I mean, they're running a marathon here. They're doing a 6-month, 162-game schedule with maybe a night or two off every couple of weeks, and that's it. So steroids probably, I don't know the whole medical whatever behind it, but they probably help with recovery time. Of course they help you with power hitting, but steroids don't help you see the pitch right out of the pitcher's hand, be able to identify what type of a pitch it is. Steroids don't help you run the bases. Steroids don't help you make excellent fielding, you know, win gold gloves. It inflates your numbers, but it doesn't help you as a skilled player.
I don't think
a lot of these guys are.
If that's the case or not, who knows? I don't know. You're not a doctor. There's not an MD associated to your name. There's not an MD that follows my name. If there's an MD out there somewhere that can attest to this, please let us know. But here's what it boils down to.
We don't get letters after doing our master's degree, do we? We not should. Just, we should. It's unfortunate.
Just take a left turn on me, Doug. Thank you.
Sorry, keep going.
I think you knew I was going to derail you here. Now I lost my train of thought. You don't get any letters after your name. What example are you setting for people in the future, though? If somebody scuffs a baseball or if somebody puts spit on a baseball, who are they hurting? Are they really hurting anybody? Are they hurting themselves? No. No, they're not. Is wrong wrong? Yes. Is there some degree of wrong? Yes. I mean, stealing signs or scuffing up a baseball or whatever you do is not the same as just blatantly cheating by using steroids, in my book. It just isn't.
And if you read my blog post, that was the one argument that I had against putting these people in Cooperstown. It's, what do you tell the younger generations?
Well, if you put them in the Hall of Fame, you're saying that it's okay.
No, you're saying it's okay to cheat. You're saying it's okay to cover up. And I think that is one reason why they don't belong there.
If they can,
it sends a bad message.
If they can keep Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame, they need to keep Bonds, Clemens, and those guys out of the Hall of Fame.
I don't think that Pete Rose should be out of the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's another issue, another discussion for the day.
Okay, well, hang on. Let's hit this Pete Rose thing and we'll work it back real quick. Pete Rose.
No. Because before we run out of time here, I just want to get to this. I honestly really was kind of torn before I started writing the article. I wasn't necessarily sure which way I was going to lean. So I decided to do some research, and I looked at the Hall of Fame website, and I looked at their slogan on top of, you know, on top of the banner. It says, "Preserving history, honoring excellence, and connecting generations." That's what the Hall of Fame stands for. So that's why I think that these people deserve to be in there.
Yeah, did you look at the voting criteria?
I did look at the voting criteria, what? And that... The voting criteria does not agree with what the slogan is. That there is a discrepancy between the voting criteria.
Then it needs to be fixed. But the voting criteria talks about the integrity of how they played the game.
Yes.
You can't... Look, I'm telling you, Barry Bonds hit 35, and his home runs went from 30 a year to 60 a year. That's not normal. 35-year-olds homers drop off.
Here's the thing. Barry Bonds very likely would have been a Hall of Famer even if his numbers
hadn't. It doesn't matter that. A Hall of Famer doesn't use steroids. A Hall of Famer does not use steroids. I don't want to hear that, he would have been a Hall of Famer before he used.
I would like to be optimistic and say that very few people in baseball use steroids. I'd like to be a purist, but I'm
Stop.
Not. No, what I'm
you know
saying
better.
Is... Exactly. I can't tell you the number of people who use steroids in baseball. It's got to be upwards of 70, 80-some percent. So,
they said only 5%. Only 5% of the guys out there are dirty. It was 5% who are clean.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
let me just throw a few names at you, and you tell me. Craig Biggio did not make it in. Is Craig Biggio a Hall of Famer? He's got 3,000 hits. Why didn't he make it in this time?
Honestly, I think that no one made it in this time because being a first ballot Hall of Famer used to mean something. You know, they would say this person is a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I'm pretty sure that the writers are kind of sending a message to these people saying, at one time, you were a first ballot Hall of Famer, and now you're not.
Well, what I do agree with you in what you said was about the writers. Who decided the writer? Who makes the writers judge and jury when they were the people who should be? They should have been championing the banner against this 10, 15 years ago.
That's another thing that I brought up in the blog.
Let me give you a couple more names, and you tell me if they ever make it in.
But yes, Biggio, yes. Sorry, I didn't answer the question.
Sammy Sosa, does he make it into the Hall?
You know what? I'm torn on Sosa. I'd like to see him in because I'm a lifelong Cubs fan, and you know, watching him grow up, I would like to see him in. But steroids or no, it was going to be a toss up anyways. I think so, just because of the number of home runs that he hit. But honestly, I could see it going either way.
A yes or no would work there, and you gave me like four. No. Honestly, it's a Cubby. That's why I hit you with a Cubby off of that.
I'm gonna say no, because other than his home runs, he didn't have anything. He had several seasons where he had the major league record in strikeouts.
Well, that's standard with power hitters. Let me move on to a couple other ones. Mark McGwire, yes or no, Hall of Famer.
Yes.
He makes it in?
He makes it in.
Jeff Bagwell.
I think Bagwell makes it in, yes.
Roger Clemens.
No.
Curt Schilling?
That's another toss-up. I'm going to say no.
Rafael Palmeiro?
No.
That's your ultimate example of he was a Hall of Famer before he used. Like, he got caught late. Barry Bonds.
Yes.
One that's not associated with steroid usage, Fred McGriff.
I think he does, yeah.
Fred McGriff had 493 home runs, and had it not been for a strike-shortened loss of a season, he would have well had over 500 home runs. He's never had any association with performance-enhancing drugs.
Well, I mean, McGriff just had the longevity. I mean, he was always around. An excellent team player. Carried a lot of weight in the clubhouse. All the players thought extremely highly of him. So I think in addition to his home runs, he has just the charisma and the persona to make it in, to carry himself.
I'm just going to be a homer here because I'm a Braves fan. Chipper Jones, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I think Chipper Jones, I don't know if he's a first ballot, but Chipper Jones is definitely a Hall of Famer.
I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. We'll have to talk to Mike. We've gone over our time limit on baseball, and we didn't get to probably but about half the stuff that I want to talk about, but let's sort of shift gears here. Still talking steroids and performance-enhancing drugs. Oh, by the way, before I move on, what about all the stuff that, like, Bond 762? I bet that's in the Hall of Fame. The home run ball? The bats?
Yeah, yeah.
That stuff's in the Hall of Fame. So they can have their stuff in there, but not them in there. It's a mess.
Yeah, and they can have the record stand. But, yeah, no, they can't be in the...
Argument for another day. Shifting gears, steroids, performance-enhancing drugs, Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong is going to announce this week, or he's going to officially admit he used performance-enhancing drugs or performance-enhancing techniques.
I think he's in the interview as we speak.
He is, and here's what happens. They take these interviews early, and people start talking, and things start leaking, and I think he picked Oprah to do the interview. I'm not sure what he wants, what his goal needs to be is, this is what I did and I was wrong and I'm sorry. Please do not, you can hold me responsible, you can say I'm a bad person, but don't hold Livestrong responsible, because it's not Livestrong's fault. Livestrong is a great cause.
He had a meeting at Livestrong this morning, I don't know if you heard that. He had a meeting there where he apologized to the corporation, saying sorry for what he's done, sorry for bringing them down, sorry for having negativity attached to the Livestrong name.
Lance Armstrong, whether or not you think he thought he cheated before or not, now we find out the truth, or so it appears. What is your view of Lance Armstrong at this point?
Well, I think what he did was terrible, absolutely terrible. I mean, he ruined people's lives. Not only did he cheat and try and cover it up, but it was mafia style.
Wait,
I mean,
hold on. He ruined people's lives?
Yes. This guy threatened. I mean, he ruled with an iron fist, dude.
All right, hang on. Look, I know I'm speaking to an Ironman and a triathlete and somebody who's in that circle, and I know that there were some supposed cover-ups and whatnot, but I don't... Ruining people's lives... I don't know. Sounds a little... Okay, go ahead. Tell me what else you got.
All right. Well, honestly, I think good for him that he's admitting this. Like, he's got some balls to do it, even though it doesn't have literal balls, but I mean, metaphorically speaking, seriously.
Oh, more left turns from you, Doug.
No, seriously, good for him for doing it. I think a lot of people are probably already turned off from him and say, who cares? Doesn't really matter. I think he's doing this less for him and more for the whole Livestrong thing, because he realizes that it's about more than just him. And he's, you know, initially Livestrong had a lot more money come in, but recently things have started kind of slowing down because people still associate the name Livestrong with Lance Armstrong and not the charitable organization that it is.
Should you hold Livestrong responsible for Lance Armstrong's actions?
No. I mean, Lance Armstrong created Livestrong, but Lance Armstrong is not Livestrong. Livestrong is its own...
It's a brand. Now. It's a brand.
It's a brand.
Just like
exactly.
Nike is, just like Under Armour.
And I mean, they're doing amazing things with cancer research and everything. And I think he's doing it because he wants that to continue to succeed.
I asked you, should they be associated? Will they be associated? Will Livestrong survive?
I think Livestrong will survive, and here's the thing. I think in 5, 6, 7 years, people will have forgotten about this whole saga. I mean, seriously, America loves a great comeback story. America...
Yeah, he'll probably ride across America on a bike raising money for Livestrong.
They heroize people, and then they villainize the same people, and then a couple years later, they turn them back into a hero.
Well, it's a forgiving society. I bet he rides a bike across country once or twice to raise money for Livestrong, and people will fall in love with him. It'll just take time. And I got to applaud him for coming out and at least admitting it. Because you know what, he doesn't owe it to us, he doesn't owe it to you, he doesn't owe it to me, he doesn't owe it to, quite frankly, he doesn't owe it to the Livestrong people, but at the end of the day, he's got to answer to his family and to those in his close circles and say, look, this is what I did, you know what I mean, to his children, to those around him, that this is what I did, and this is how it impacts you. And so I gotta tip my hat to it to that end. But I think you're right. I think people don't care, especially about a sport that, whatever, cycling. That's a jab at you, Doug. I know. I'm
shaking my head. People can't hear me shake my head.
We can't hear you shake your head on the podcast. In other sporting news, hockey is back. Are you excited to see hockey back, Doug?
You know, I'm not a huge hockey fan. I'm what the media has been calling a casual fan. And it's the casual fans that the media felt would be lost in this. I am excited to see it back. You know, I like to be able to turn on the TV and not have to watch some reality TV show. I'd much rather watch reality in the form of sports. And to have one more major sport back means more programming on my TV set.
Is there a more exciting overtime than a hockey overtime or game seven? I don't think there's anything as exciting as a hockey game seven or hockey overtime.
Here's the thing. I don't watch a lot of regular season hockey, but I watch almost every single postseason game just because it's so enthralling. I mean, you had like last year, the Kings, an 8 seed, running, you know, yeah. running through the playoffs.
Quick is good. Is it
yeah.
Jonathan Quick?
Yeah.
He's good.
Here's the thing with
he can stand on his head.
Media has been saying that they're going to lose a lot of fans like they did in the lockout, what was it, in 04, 05, when they lost the entire season. Well, I think that they've come back pretty strong from that lockout, and people thought that whatever clout they had gained over the past couple of years was totally going to be lost. I wasn't really sure how it was going to go, but I heard a report on the radio this morning in the Philly area talking about how the training camp this weekend opened with the largest crowd ever at a Flyers preseason training, and it was like that the entire weekend. So I think people are just glad it's back, and even the casual fan, because the last couple of years, NHL has really picked up popularity, and I think the casual fans are sticking around, especially the Canadians. I mean, they've been waiting for the
this is what they got
for months. This is all they have.
Well,
besides
the Toronto Argonauts, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Don't be too mean to our Canadian brothers. I did get some Molson. I do have some Molson ice in my fridge for when hockey season kicks off. I will have
talk
a Molson and watch some
talk
hockey.
About a left turn here.
That's what you have for hockey beer. Molson ice or Labatt Blue.
All I'm saying is Canadian beer sucks.
To eat.
Sorry, it's a movie quote. It's a movie quote.
What movie is that from?
Canadian Bacon.
And who's in that movie?
John Candy. He died in the filming of it. It was his last movie.
I haven't seen that movie.
I don't know if it's on Netflix. Check it out.
John Candy. He was Uncle Buck, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That was a good movie. Uncle Buck. I did like Uncle Buck. I'll look for that on Netflix. Let's regroup here. Let's bring it back in. Last week, we made our playoff predictions. I'm sorry about your Packers. I won't dwell on that, but...
Yeah, it's baseball season in the hockey household.
I told you so.
Went to a football party yesterday to watch the Sunday games, and I wore my Cubs get up.
How many days till pitchers and catchers report?
We're under 30.
It should be about 30.
I think it's the 17th or 18th. Of course, I say that now, but... come May or June.
It'll be football season again.
It'll be football season.
Yes, it will. When the Cubs are 15-45. Let's see. The 49ers go to Atlanta. Give me your thoughts on this one.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes right here. San Francisco is a +3.5 favorite at home.
Atlanta is a 3.5 favorite?
Yeah, no. San Francisco is a favorite.
On the road in the Georgia Dome?
On the road, 3.5 points, yeah. San Francisco, a.k.a. Colin Kaepernick, absolutely torched the Packers. Now, Seattle runs a very similar offense, and Atlanta, for the most part, well,
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. And, I mean, they were pretty much able to shut down Russell Wilson. He had, I think, 60 yards on the ground or something like that. Beast mode, Marshawn Lynch didn't really do much. The big thing there was that surprise tight end. I honestly can't even remember his name at this point for Seattle.
Zach Miller?
Yeah, Zach Miller. I don't know, man. I was surprised that Atlanta kind of gave it away at the end right there.
Dude, that was a meltdown.
If it wasn't for some luck. But I think that they got over the hump. I think they finally got the demons out, you know, from the 0-3 or whatever that Matt Ryan was in the playoffs. I think Atlanta wins this one. I think they win it by 7, 24-17.
We talked last week, if Matt Ryan lost this one, does he fall into the Tony Romo and... Philip Rivers category, and I commented on a friend of mine's Facebook status. They said, "Congrats to Matt Ryan, you know, finally overcome silencing the critics." It's like, I don't know, are the critics really silent? He's like, "Well, you're the only critic I still hear talking," and he did beat the Seahawks, who you were all over, all on the bandwagon. Well, those are fair points. However, dude, a team that's going to win the Super Bowl does not give up that kind of a lead. You can look at it and say, well, a team that wins the Super Bowl can get into a bad situation and come back late. Yes, Matt Ryan played clutch, but a team that goes on and wins the Super Bowl doesn't give up a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter. Like, that's not how they operate.
Yeah, I think that was more nerves, though. It was
In the fourth quarter, there's no nerves.
No, listen, how many times have you been in a situation where it's your first time trying to win something, your first time trying to get a birdie, you know, out on the golf course or something, and you start pressing, you know, because you're so nervous that you want to get that. They were so nervous in the second half to get that first playoff win for this administration, if you can call it that, the Mike Smith and Matt Ryan era, that they tightened up. And now that they have that win, it's totally off their shoulders. And I think they're going to be offended that they are underdogs at home, and they're going to come out to play. And with Tony Gonzalez pulling a Ray Lewis and saying that he's 95% sure that he's going to retire, they're going to be playing for the big man. I mean, get him to his first Super Bowl. Seriously. Like, Atlanta, as hot as San Francisco is, they have a week to look at the tape on Kaepernick. I think that they slow him down much better than awful Packers defense did.
Let me throw this at you while we're talking Kaepernick. I did not classify the Seahawks as a true read option team. I would only have a few teams out there in the NFL that are true read options right now. Atlanta has played three games, in my opinion, against read option teams. They played Carolina twice, and they played Washington. Those are read option teams, correct?
Yeah, and they didn't play well against Carolina at all.
No, they won 30-28, and they lost 30-20. They did beat Washington, but they only beat them by a touchdown. I'm not going to say they've had trouble with the read option, but they haven't dominated it. The other thing I looked at is, well, what about defenses? I want to know, because the 49ers have a tough defense. They're fourth against the run. They're fourth against the pass. What kind of defenses have the Falcons face? And I started from their very last game against the Buccaneers, not a good defense, and worked my way backwards. I stopped when I got to a good defense. Around week five, they played Washington. Washington is one of those teams that can stop the run but not the pass, or vice versa. Just prior to that, they played San Diego. San Diego, we know how that turned out. And then I said, well, who's the best?
Well, wait. You said week five, so they played San Diego week four?
It was like week six or week four. It's right in that same time frame.
I mean, San Diego still had a semi-decent team on the field at that point.
Well, when I look back at it, the best defense they played all year was Denver, and that was week two when Peyton Manning threw three interceptions. I don't think they haven't played anybody of consequence yet. Now, I know, look, Dustin Smale, if you're listening, you're going to tell me how I'm giving the Falcons some respect. I think it's going to be a close game. I just can't pick the Falcons in this game. I just haven't been convinced with what I've seen all year long. It's been too hit or miss. Going Niners.
Honestly, it's a toss-up. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see either of the teams win.
Let's shift it to the AFC. It's actually a rematch from week three in the season. Baltimore beat New England. I don't think anybody realized that.
And from last year's AFC championship game.
Yes. Baltimore beat New England at home earlier in the season, 31-30. It's Ray's last ride. Is Ray Ray going to get another ring?
If they hadn't pulled off some type of magic in Denver, I would say no. I don't know what this team is doing right now. I don't know who they have on their side, but I mean, they've got fate, or they've got something going for them at this point.
Ray Lewis would tell you that that no weapon formed against him shall prosper against the Ravens. What the Lord has ordained. And I was like, dude, I'm not sure that I would say the Lord has ordained the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that. I just think that's not something you throw around out there like that.
The stats point in the total opposite direction. I mean, Flacco completed just over 50% of his passes. Peyton Manning arguably gave away the game in the fourth or the first overtime, end of the fourth quarter, first overtime. A lot can be talked about is his arm strength, the cold, whatever. You know, Peyton Manning didn't play well in the cold, but I mean, the stats honestly point towards New England winning. They're playing in New England. Logic says they're going to win. Welker had 8 receptions for 131 yards. I mean,
wish he could have done that in the regular season for my fantasy team.
Yeah. The big thing is Ray Rice had 30 touches for 131 yards. If they can get Ray Rice running again this week, I think the Ravens have a chance. I'm going a future Hall of Fame, two future Hall of Fame, soon to be retiree matchup in the Super Bowl. I'm going Ravens and Ray Lewis against the Falcons and Tony Gonzalez.
You are on. You're similar.
You heard it here first.
The Ravens finished 1-4 in the regular season. They won 2 straight playoff games. Here's what I looked at. This is what I found interesting. Games that are 7 points or less, those were games I call close games. They could go either way. 7 points or less. New England had 8 of them. In those games, they were 4-4. Baltimore had 11 of them. In those games, they were 7-4. I think if they can keep it close, I think they got a shot. Anything can happen. I think they got a shot.
The trouble is going to be keeping it close.
That's a fact. That offense.
People thought Houston might be able to keep it close.
I didn't think Houston would keep it close. They kept it closer than I thought.
I didn't either. I'm just saying people in our profession, aka the sports journalists.
Right. I'm gonna go with New England at home. That offense is just as good. It's really good. And if you think about it, who do they have? Don't get me wrong, Wes Welker's a good receiver, but he's not what he once was, and he's not playing lights out. He had
he's not what he left. Once was. You're making him out to be like he's 35 years old. How old is he? He's like 24, 25? I mean, just because he had a hair implant in the offseason doesn't mean that he is not what he once was.
Wes Welker, he's not as good as he once was. Do you know where he went to college, by the way?
We've talked about this. I can't remember. The hair implant thing is just kind of sticking in my head right now.
I didn't know he got a hair implant. Texas Tech. He's a Red Raider. Texas Tech.
You didn't know about the hair implant?
No.
Yeah.
They've got Aaron Hernandez, who's good, but been injured. Gronkowski's out. Tom Brady, obviously. But, I mean, Stephen Ridley, if you look at him, he's a top-tier running back. By the numbers this season, you wouldn't expect that. Mm-hmm. Go look it up. Yeah. I know he's in the top 10. I think he's in the top 5. I'm just not going to bet against Bill Belichick.
Can we get our stats guy on this? Yeah. Oh wait, no, sorry, that's right. We're on our own.
You are the stats guy. I'm taking the Patriots. So I got the 49ers and the Patriots. You've got the Ravens and the Falcons.
Very true.
I have a couple things to hit before we call it a day. And judging by the sound in the background, I'm guessing that you are the stat guy and indeed looking those stats up right now. Last week I told the story about my sister thinking Brian Kelly was William Shatner. To be fair to her, she did say the Notre Dame coach, and I think she called him by name, looks like William Shatner, and explained that she thought that's who it was at first sight. However, she also wants to know, Doug, when you went to the Jets-Cardinals game, which was the worst game I've ever seen in my entire life, why did you...
You know, that honestly was not the worst game I had ever seen in my life. The worst game I had ever seen in my life was the Broncos-Chiefs game that I was at in person on New Year's Day last year. That also ended in a very low score. This one was 6-3, and Tim Tebow threw for all about 50 yards, but keep going.
Speaking of Tebow, she wanted to know why you did not get Tim Tebow's number for her.
I did see Tim Tebow. He was in street clothes because he was inactive for that game.
Did you make an attempt to get the phone number for her?
I did not.
Why not?
We were hurriedly, as much as I love your sister and I would love to have gotten the number for her, we were rushed off the field. We didn't have a lot of time. I had to keep a crisp officer salute in case I was on TV, which I wasn't, because they didn't televise any of the pregame festivities.
Don't name drop or anything. Yeah, so no Tebow number. That was great effort, Doug.
Yeah, I tried.
All right, well then I'll try and answer the question you asked me. Is the read option here to stay? I don't think so, and I love the read option. I love spread option. I really do. I love the option, and I'm shocked that they don't use it a little bit more in the NFL. But everything is cyclical. You see things shift and change over time. The passing attack to the old running attack of how it was back in the day. Now the run game is starting to make resurgence. We thought the run game had just disappeared. It's cyclical. Will the read option stick around for a few years? Yeah. Will it be effective? Yeah, probably. But will it be around for forever? No, it's not. I don't know. I think it will last as the duration. You see, what happens is whatever these high schools run, the colleges adapt to. And what the colleges adapt to is the type of athletes are built to NFL.
They come down the pipeline.
Correct. So it just depends. I think it'll be prominent for a few years, but it's not gonna. I mean, we're not gonna see a wing T offense like we once did. That's not gonna come back.
I agree. I think it's a fad. I think it'll work. I think we'll see more playoff wins in the years to come. But I mean, I don't know. I think it's a passing league.
It is. It's a passing league. Well, and the reason it is because the rules are set up to protect the passing team. So the more you pass, the more you are protected. The defense can't put their hands on the receiver. The quarterback gets sneezed on, and it's a 15-yard penalty. It behooves you to have a passing team, a passing offense.
Yeah.
Sells tickets, scores points, sells tickets. That's what NFL loves.
You know, how many times have we seen a team need to get a 30 or 40-yard chunk, and they toss it up, hope to get the interference call? I mean,
yeah.
That could be a topic for another day.
Yeah, it is. We'll add that to the list. I thought you were gonna go, just throw it up for a prayer, Seattle, Green Bay. I thought that's what you were going with.
No, hey, I'm over that. It's baseball season.
Did you look up the Stephen Ridley numbers?
I did.
What do you got?
I did. Stephen Ridley, 1,263 yards, number 7.
I told you he was top 10.
Number 7 man. He was sandwiched between Arian Foster at number 6 and CJ Spiller at number 8.
I bet you did not expect that.
I did not.
Can you rank?
That was quiet.
Can you rank it by touchdowns?
That was very quiet. What's that?
How does he rank by touchdowns?
Touchdowns.
And if you combine the two, if you combine the two somehow, I think you'd have to put him up there in the top 5.
Stephen Ridley was number 3 in touchdowns with 12. He was tied with one other running back. Can you name who it is?
Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
I'm not looking at ESPN right now or anything like that. I'm just good like that.
No, that was good.
I told you you would be surprised how good he is. Is he a fantasy steal next year?
Stephen Ridley?
Yes.
I think more or less, yeah.
Will you steal the name of one of the league guys in my league, Ridley Me This, if you get Stephen Ridley?
I don't know. It's a little cheesy.
Well, the cheesy names are the good ones.
They're all cheesy. I mean, I was Mr. Rogers' neighborhood this year.
That's me judging you right in your face. Well, the guy's name started out as he had Justin Blackman, and they were the Black Monsters or something. I don't know.
You know, I was in a league where on air I couldn't say a single one of the team names.
Well, then we'll say
the FCC would shut us down before we even got started.
We keep a clean tag on our podcast. We'll have to save that conversation for offline. Let's see. Let me just make a quick look at everything else on our rundown here. Did we?
You know, I brought up the stats guy. You know, every show that means something in the sports world, they've got dudes sitting behind a pane of glass, sitting on a computer, talking in the earpiece, sending notes forward.
Well, there's no earpiece here. I just know it off the top of my head.
Could that be a job for Mike Giannone?
Stat? You know what? That's a stat guru.
Come sit next to me on the iPad and pull up stats as we blindly throw numbers here and there. I almost get like a Tony Reale, just correct us on our
errors and omissions.
Errors at the end.
No, Mike Giannone's not Tony Reale. Mike, although that was kind of weird, Giannone Reale. He's more like Seth Schwab. Really Mike knows his stuff. He's solid. We need to get him back. He's got great commentary too.
I asked him to come over tonight, but he flies tomorrow.
Where's he going? Maybe we're good?
No.
Just local?
Not as good as this weekend, yeah.
You're going to Italy this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I'm jealous. I'm gonna leave with this. The Denver Broncos brought in Peyton Manning for situations like they found themselves at the end of the game. It cost them. In the fourth quarter, they got the ball with 30 seconds left, and he took a knee. If that's what you wanted to do, you could have run the ball with Tim Tebow last year, or anybody else, or at least given yourself a better opportunity. I'm not going to make the statement that Tim Tebow is a better quarterback than Peyton Manning. That's ridiculous. We all know that's not the case. However, you've got to admit it's somewhat ironic that last year in the playoffs, Tim Tebow led the Broncos to a playoff victory in overtime with a pass, and Peyton Manning led the Broncos to defeat in overtime with a pass in the playoffs.
Good stuff.
Just saying.
Good stuff. I will leave you with one Peyton Manning stat of my own.
Stat of the day.
Do you know how many times he has lost his first playoff game?
In a particular season?
Yeah, I mean, a one and done. How many times Peyton Manning in his career has been one and done?
This might be the first. I remember him going to a lot of AFC Championship games. How many times?
8 times.
No way. No way. 8 times?
8 times. Yeah, I mean, he's been in the playoffs almost every... I want to say... He's been in since, what, 98?
How many?
So that's 14
years.
Yeah, I mean, he was on some teams that made it to the playoffs, but they weren't great teams. They didn't get far.
Well, next week we'll try and get to some of the things that we talked about last week that we just didn't have time to get to this week. The BCS. I mean, that's something that can wait for. We'll have some downtime as football wraps up. Talking about Chip Kelly and Brian Kelly, some of these other coaching things. Actually, I gotta throw one more question to you from a listener reader. Where does the Hall of Fame stand? Working back to the beginning, is it worth keeping the Hall of Fame open? Was what was asked, or would the Hall of Fame close down? And no, you don't think you close the Hall of Fame down? Look, it's still an established, establishment. It's a museum.
Keep it open.
It's a museum.
Yeah, it's a museum. And here's the thing, you know, they have a Hall of Fame week every year, which is when typically people get inducted into the Hall of Fame. They have, I want to say it's 3 people who are getting inducted this year. It's a former umpire and 2 former owners, I believe, from, they were like executive committee decisions to be let into the Hall of Fame. From back in the late 1800s. So there are 3 people who are getting inducted this year. It's a huge time for the hall, a huge time for the town. You know, a bunch of Little League teams come in and playing big tournaments and stuff. And, I mean, it's still a ceremonious weekend, regardless of the fact that technically no one is getting inducted this year. You know, no one of substance. But no, you don't close it. It's a museum. It's anyone who is a baseball fan has a couple of pilgrimages that they have to go on at least once in their life.
Let me guess. Wrigley Field and Cooperstown.
I was not going to say Wrigley Field.
Okay.
Field of Dreams.
Oh, the Iowa guy. My bad.
No, the baseball guy. The Field of Dreams movie site and Cooperstown. As a baseball fan, those are two pilgrimages
Have you been to both?
I've been to Field of Dreams. I've not been to Cooperstown.
Time to fix
it. I live on the East Coast now, though. I live just a few hours from Cooperstown, so...
I'll come visit. We'll go.
I'll be there.
I'll come visit. We'll go. That's it for this time. We'll be back with you next week, or I don't know. We might have to have a supplementary edition later in the week if something crazy happens. Thanks for joining us, Doug. It was great to have you back on.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Let's keep this going.
For sure. That's all for now.